You're listening to audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, where we train students to preach the Word and reach the world. For more free resources like this one, visit www.swbts.edu/media resources.
Thank you for that precious song. Thank you, Mr. President, for your kind introduction. It's great to see you again. Mrs. Patterson, distinguished faculty, students, staff, it's great to be back in my alma mater. I got here just a couple of minutes early on my canoe as I drove in and drove across the street to see the first little apartment my wife and I lived in when we came here many years ago. So it is a school that I love dearly, and I dearly love your president and his wife, and thank God for you. And I do especially appreciate his request that you pray for me. I do need that. You need the practice, and I do need the prayers. I do. Because the job that I have just assuming is way beyond my ability. Far beyond my ability. And so I do need the prayers of God's people that I might in some small way make an impact for the kingdom of God. Now, we are in difficult days. Someone described my job, yes, as President Patterson did. Others describe it as going to Chuck E. Cheese's, and you see this game with holes, and you get a mallet, and you try to whack a mole on the head. And as you do, other moles pop up all over the place, and you keep trying to keep them down and in place. Someone said, that's your job. Others describe it as a firefighter, putting out fires. And I like to describe it best as one who tries to herd cats. And that is very difficult. But pray for me. I would really, truly appreciate that. But I've come to share God's Word with you today, and I want to say something that might be an encouragement to you. And I begin with a story that I heard some time back, a story with which I am increasingly able to identify. An elderly lady had reached the point in her life that she wanted, it was Christmas time, she wanted to bless her children and her grandchildren with gifts, but she had reached the point she just couldn't get out and shop as once she did. But she still wanted to do something good, so she decided, I'll just give them money, they probably would prefer that anyway. And that's true, isn't it? So she sat down at her little desk. She did go buy cards. And she sat down at her little desk and she wrote out on every card a sweet little note. Dear child, dear grandchild, I want you to have a wonderful Christmas. I love you. Signed, Grandma. P.S. Please buy your own present this year. Now she wrote out a sizable check to each one, to every child, every grandchild. Mail the cards. Christmas came. Christmas went. And about the end of January, as she was cleaning out her little desk, guess what she found? The checks that she had meant to put in the cards. So every child, every grandchild got a card for Christmas. Dear daughter, dear son, dear grandson, dear granddaughter, I love you. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas. Signed, Grandma. P.S. Buy your own present this year. Yes, I'm increasingly able to identify with that particular story. Some of you are not far behind. But I believe that story packs a spiritual lesson, because I think that's what we're doing to our 21st century culture. We're saying to them, because we are not sharing the gospel as we ought, we're not involved in the mission work that we should be, we're not doing what God has called us to do, I believe we're saying to our nation and to our world, we love you. Hope you have a great life. P.S. Find your own way. Amen. We love you, but you might as well go on to hell anyway, because we're not going to be there to tell you how to find heaven. And so I am concerned. As I shared with Dr. Patterson just a moment ago, you know, as Southern Baptists, my prayer is that God will let us help do His work. He can do His work with anybody He wants. And He might do it without us, but I hope and pray He lets us be a part. The text I would like to read this morning is one of, I believe, extreme relevance. It is found in 1 Samuel chapter 3. For time's sake, we'll just read verses 1 through 10. But if you would, stand with me, please, as we do read this great, great text from 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. It says, "The boy ministered before the Lord unto Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions." You can mark it down. That's one of the saddest verses in all the Bible. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." He ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and he lay down. And the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. If he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and laid down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant heareth." Please be seated. Awakened from sleep the fourth time, the little boy finally understands and responds appropriately. A word that I pray each of us would learn. "Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth." I would like to speak to you today about the call. The call. I believe God calls for many reasons. And I believe those calls, plural, can be heeded or rejected. Now, my theology regarding soteriology is somewhat similar to that of your president's, but not everyone shares our belief in this regard. But I will tell you today, I believe God's call comes for many reasons, and it can be accepted or it may be rejected. The first call that I think we need to constantly remember is that call of God to be saved. That call of God to be saved. In fact, the Scripture uses many words. Christians are referred to in Romans chapter 1, verse 6, as those who are called to be Jesus Christ's. In 1 Corinthians 1, 2, we're called to be saints. In Romans 8, 28, we're called according to His purpose. Yes, God did take the initiative. We agree even with some of our other brothers in that regard. Yes, God does the saving. God woos us through His blessed Holy Spirit, and He calls us to be His children. And I praise God that some of you, even yesterday in the rain, were out sharing the gospel with somebody. I was on the airplane just a couple of days ago to California, and I got to talking to a man named John Dozier. And I said, "John, tell me about yourself." And he did. And he said, "Well, tell me about yourself." And I did. And then, "John, let me ask you, John, have you ever thought about, or do you have any kind of personal relationship with the Lord?" "Oh, Frank, let me tell you about it." And he told me when he was called to be saved. In Arkansas, though now he lives in Fresno, California, God calls us to be saved. We are called upon to acknowledge the Lordship of Christ. And I know Dr. Patterson is always concerned with seminary students that you're sure that you know that you have a personal relationship with Christ. I will say something later, but let me say it even now. When I sat where you sit, in 1973, I first came here as a single student. I was over in Fort Worth Hall. Got married that Christmas and drugged my wife kicking and screaming across the country back. That's not true. She came very lovingly and very willingly and was delighted to be a part of what God was doing. But we came here in January of 1974. The truth is, most of the men and some women that sat around me in chapel are not in ministry today. And while there is a reason for that in some instances that I can understand, I think some of them never knew the Lord in the first place. They were called, they felt, to be here because mom and daddy wanted them to be here. Because a Sunday school teacher, somebody in church said, you ought to go to seminary. And some came to try to provide some kind of therapy for what was going on inside of them. This is the place to learn how to do therapy. This is not the place to get therapy. I'm going to tell you that. God calls us to be saved. But God calls us for many things. And one of the things that He calls us to do is to receive His loving care. Now, as a minister, you are trained and will be trained. And I thank God for the training I received in this school, that I might go and I might assist and help men and women, boys and girls who are hurting. And we live in a world of hurting men and women, boys and girls who are calling out for somebody to love them and care for them. And it will be your job as a minister to show them the loving care of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there are times, friends, in your ministry when you will need to receive that ministry yourself. Our Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sometimes the call is to receive the loving care of our Lord. And I encourage you today to be open to that loving care. I believe you can say yes to salvation. I believe you can say no. I will never forget witnessing to a young lady in Fort Worth, Texas when I was pastor here. And as I shared the gospel with her, I used a program called CWT. I still use that outline myself. She said, no, I will not receive Christ. And when I die, I'm going to go to hell and I'm going to bust hell wide open. I said, ma'am, you have correctly ascertained your destination, but you have greatly overestimated the impact of your arrival. Because, ma'am, hell is full of people like you. You can say yes, you can say no. You can say yes to the comforting care of God, or you can say no. But I beg of you, don't ever think that because you're a minister of the gospel that you are not to receive that loving care and comfort that God will offer you. Brother Matt's down here. He was my mom and daddy's my mom and daddy's pastors in Greensboro. My mama just died 2 months ago. He loved my mama, and my mama loved him. Then 8.5 months ago, my oldest daughter died tragically, who used to play with Daniel's daughter here in Fort Worth. We understand loss. We understand tragedy. But listen carefully to me. Our God is able to comfort. Our God's grace is sufficient every day. Someone asked me a few weeks ago, how have you handled the death of your daughter? I said, I haven't handled it. I handle it every day. But God's grace is sufficient. Come unto me. God's call is to receive the loving care. But quickly, God's call is also to service. Talking about the call of God is a relatively little talked about aspect of ministry anymore. We hear a lot about jobs and vocations. I talked to a lot of young ministers who are real interested in the pay package of certain churches. They want to know what the benefits plan might be. But we hear a decreasingly small amount of people identifying the call of God as the central aspect of who they are as a believer in ministry. And I believe God still calls men and women, boys and girls, to the ministry. I was raised in a non-Christian home in extreme abject poverty in North Carolina. When my mom and daddy went to live with my sister near where Matt lived, they moved out of their double-wide trailer to go live with my sister and thought they had moved into a mansion. But God called me as a child and imparted into my little heart that someday I'd be a Baptist preacher. I never doubted that call. Little Samuel got a call from God. He called. He didn't understand it at first. Once, twice, thrice. But then the fourth time, having received counsel from Eli, he finally said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth." And God called this little boy, yes, into salvation, but also into service. Now, Josephus, the great historian, identifies the fact that, or he says that young Samuel was 12 years old at the time. But the Bible, in using that word youth, simply indicates someone who is not of maturity spiritually or mentally. And that refers, by the way, to many of us even in this place today, doesn't it? But God calls the service. God called little Samuel, and God calls ordinary Christians to do extraordinary things even today. And I ask you, have you received that call? Are you here out of an absolute calling that God has placed upon your life? Do you know it for certain? Have you received it? Have you responded to it? You say, "Well, I'm here." Are you here because of a call of God or someone else's call? Are you here because God laid an instruction upon your life and said, "This is where I want you to be"? I lived at that time when I was called to the seminary, just 60 miles from another Southern Baptist seminary. The seminary that at that time was questioning even the very truth of Scripture, the veracity of the virgin birth. Mr. President, that's why I came to Southwestern, because at the time, it was the only school I could find that still believed in the Word of God. Things have changed, much in part due to what your president has done. But God called me here. Has God called you here? Quickly, understand the call is best understood and received by a prepared heart. You see, God's call goes far beyond salvation, far beyond comfort, far beyond service. It is a call to purity. It is a call to holiness. There are many calls in Scripture for us to be the men and women God wants us to be. And the call of God will always be best heard and perceived by a prepared heart, one that is ready to hear the call of God. You see, God's call can change your location. God's call may change what you do and where you do it at some other place in your life, but it will not be heard unless your heart is prepared and ready to receive it. Eli said, "Son, here's what you need to say." But I tell you, every day we need to hear the call and heed the command. Every day we need to wake up and say, "Oh Lord, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. Lord, who is it today you want me to share with? Lord, who is it today you want me to minister to? Lord, where is it you want me to be?" Oh God, your call still works, but the call is best received by a heart that is yearning for that call, that is yearning for the voice of God. And I believe for most of us, God's call will never overwhelm us. For most of us, it will be that still, small voice. Listen to what Daniel said in Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. God said, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding." Listen. "Since the first day you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them." Have you humbled your heart before God? The call will best be heard by the prepared heart, a heart that is yearning for the call of God. "Oh Lord, I'm listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth." And yes, that call may be rejected. As I said, the majority, not vast, but the majority of men and women who sat around me in seminary days no longer are in ministry. Some of you say, "Well, look how old you are. A lot of them have just done died on you." So true. But those that haven't have died in other ways. Over the years, the stresses of ministry, the difficulty of deacons in some instance, personal failures, and just sheer burnout have taken their toll. I understand many of those pressures, and you will as well. But when you're able to wake up every day and say, God, call me, God, you will enable me through the rest of this day. So every day the call will come, and you can say yes, or you can say no. I pray that no longer will we say to our nation, to our world, go buy your own present. Go find your own way. But an army of men and women will rise up who say, God's call is true. God's call to be saved is real. God's call to receive comfort is true. God's call to serve, it is why I am where I am. And I believe God wants us to say yes to that call. Hear the call. Heed the command. Now, the latter part of 1 Samuel 3, we didn't read it, but in the latter part, you can see that Samuel the boy grew. And the Bible says that it was at Shiloh once again that prophecy occurred. It was in Shiloh once again that the word of the Lord was attested to. Look at verse 20. And all Israel from Dan and Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of God. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh. And there he revealed to Samuel, himself to Samuel, how? Through his word. Though Shiloh did not have the ark, though Shiloh did not have the prophetic credentials of a Jerusalem, it was at Shiloh that God revealed himself. Why? Because a boy learned to listen to the call. And it may be that wherever you are, you may not think it is a wonderful place of ministry. You may not think that God is ever going to shine his blessing on you. But if you are faithful to the call, your place may not have all the wonderful attributes of some other church or some other ministry or some other mission setting. But it could be a Shiloh again for the Lord because you followed the call. The place may change, but God's call upon your heart must be the central identity factor of you as a minister of the gospel. Who are you? I'm saved, but I'm called. Speak, Lord, your servant heareth. Pray with me. Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray that every man, woman, boy, and girl in this place, every man and woman in this place, would be able to say today, I know Christ, and I am called by God. I know Christ, and I am called by God. Father, I pray that Shilohs would be found all around this nation, this world, as God called men and women in this place. Hear the call and heed the command. Hear the call and heed the command. And every day say, Lord, speak, for your servant heareth. Oh God, may there be no rejection of the call to be saved, to receive your grace and comfort, and to receive the calling of service that you have upon our lives. Speak, Lord, your servant heareth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. If you want more information on our academic programs, or if you would like to support our mission, visit www.swbts.edu.